Not quite sure that you still need me to preach, because it looks like Ronnie and George and others have kind of said more or less what I wanted to say. So, and with the Lord's blessings, let's see where we go with this, right? It's a great privilege and an honor to be here and to see all of you. And it's particularly good, John, to see you. I think it's the first time I'm seeing you since your exodus from hospital. You look like you've never been in any hospital. So fantastic. As George said, today is Remembrance Sunday. And as you know, in the UK and the Commonwealth, Remembrance commemorates the contribution of British and Commonwealth military, and not only military, but civilian servicemen and women in the two world wars and later conflicts. That's the official definition. Yeah? And you know this line of them, we say, they shall not grow old as we who are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. So the UK and the Commonwealth are not, however, the only countries that practice remembrance. For example, in Ukraine and Russia, and I'm choosing Ukraine and Russia because I have a Russia-Ukrainian wife. They have what you call Victory Day, and that is celebrated on the 9th of May. Victory over the Nazi forces in World War II. And instead of poppies, they give flowers, usually red carnations, to veterans, and they lay wreaths, like we do, at war memorials. In Germany also, you know, there is Remembrance, and they call it the National Day of Mourning. And it's an occasion when Germany remembers not just Germans, but all victims of war and tyranny. And it's more correctly termed or called a silent day, which means that in some regions of Germany, music or dance events are prohibited. And it is also a national holiday in Germany. The parliament decides from year to year which day it would be. And for example, this year, it's on Wednesday, the 16th of November. And their Remembrance Sunday, or Silent Day Sunday, so to speak, is today. And they are also celebrating it, but it's a silent day, a national day of mourning. Next year it's on a different date, but this year it falls on the same Sunday as ours. I read of a church pastor, he's an American church pastor in Louisiana, who was a pastor for 20 years. And he started every worship service, every Sunday, by thanking God for the gift of memory. That was his call to worship. Now, those of you who've studied your Bible and studied a bit of theology know that there are like thousands of verses in the Bible that you can use for a call to worship. But this man, for 20 years, at every service that he presided, started off by thanking God for the gift of memory. Because forgetting is so natural, we are told repeatedly in the Bible to remember what God has done for us. Like Ronnie said, rehearse it. Now, according to one source, the King James Version of the Bible uses the word remember 320 times, a lot more than many other key words in the Bible. And throughout the Bible, God's people are instructed to remember what He did for them. For example, if you want a psalm of remembrance, does anybody know which one I'm talking about? Okay, here goes. Check out Psalm 105. It's a wonderful song of remembrance of God's goodness to His beloved people. In short, this psalm traces God's direction, His provision, and His protection throughout Israel's history, and particularly the lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. They're all named in this psalm. Moses himself often repeated in stirring addresses to the Israelites, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm." Deuteronomy 5:15. In the New Testament, the Christians at Ephesus had forgotten who they were. That is why in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 to 22, and I'm just giving you one line of all those verses, Paul commands the Ephesians and us to remember. Take a minute when you have some time and read it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Remember. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10, Peter says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are a people, and not just a people. You are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And so Remembrance Sunday is an opportunity for us to remind ourselves of our history, our heritage. It's an opportunity to recall where the Lord has brought you from, what He has done for you, and where He is taking you and what He is doing for you now. So with that in mind, I want to read for you from John chapter 8, verses 31 to 36. And I'm reading for you from the New King James Version. And because I don't have the New King James Version, I've printed it. So it reads like this. So that's John 8, 31 to 36, the New King James Version. And the title of it, "The Truth Shall Make You Free." That's it, right? Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The end. That's God's word, and we give him thanks for it. So, Jesus began this chapter, John chapter 8, by delivering a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And there is a crowd that wants to stone her. You all know the story, right? And Jesus said, whoever is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And what happened? Yeah, they all disappeared. But let's drill into that and get the exact thing that happened there. The Bible says they began to walk away from the oldest to the youngest. Have you ever wondered why the senior ones walked away first?
They had more time to sin.
Absolutely, George. They were older. They had lived longer. And the thought is that perhaps they felt more guilty because they had sinned more, had a longer time to sin more. Who knows? Well, that's just an exciting thought. So, healing and delivering this woman from sin, if you look at the chapter, whole chapter, it led to some debate between Jesus and the Pharisees. And the debate was about Jesus' authority to do what he did. They were questioning him. And he said, I am the Son of God, and in me you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So there were these Pharisees standing, and they heard, standing by, and they heard this statement. And they responded to Jesus, hello, Jesus. We are the descendants of Abraham, and we have never been in bondage to anybody. Jesus, we are Abraham's kids, and we have never, ever been in bondage to anybody. Did you catch that? We are Abraham's kids, and we have never been in bondage to anybody. Really? If they had gotten past the book of Genesis, and even so much as went into Exodus, they would have known that for 400 years, the descendants of Abraham were slaves in Egypt. And now here they are, generations removed, with no memory that some of their generations were slaves. So the topic I'm preaching on is thank God for memory. Thank God for memory. If you don't remember, you may not know the path that you are heading. These Pharisees isolated themselves to their present generation, and they failed to recognize that what God did through their forefathers and foremothers was tied and linked to what God was doing in the present. They said, we have never been in bondage to anyone. Here is the thing. God is not just responsive to what is going on in your life today. God is not just perhaps somewhere waiting for something to happen and responding to what is happening to your generation today. What he started on the day of creation and what he did through your great, 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 great grandfather and mother is connected to what he is doing today. It's not accidental. There is a link and things are tied together. You and I are a part of a larger move of God long before you and I were born. The way I might put it is like this. We are but runners of this leg of the race. A race that began before us and will continue after us. So, let us avoid the danger of the Pharisees in believing that we have arrived, that this is it. No, no. This is not it. This is just a part of it. You are just a part of the journey. And if you don't have a memory of what the Lord has been doing in not just your life, but in the generations that came before you, you are likely to think that you have arrived. So thank God for memory. Without a memory, you know, it is really hard to know why you should praise God. Yeah, that's kind of logical, isn't it? Without a memory, it is really hard to know why you should praise God. You know, to forget the history was to forget why they celebrated Passover. Every year, they are called to remember that things should, could have happened another way. But the keeping hand of God was so much on their lives that what should have killed them passed over them. Now, if you are acquainted with Jewish practice, and if you've ever been to Israel, has anybody been to Israel here? Yeah. Several of you. I'm yet to go. It's in our plans, right? Okay. I myself, we haven't been as yet. But I am informed by reliable sources, and you, I'm sure, will confirm this, that on each Sabbath, the Jews stop and they tell the history of their people every week. Yeah? And you know why they do it? Because they take seriously the command of God to tell their children and their children's children of the God who brought their ancestors out of slavery and of the Passover. How can these Pharisees celebrate Passover without any memory of slavery, of death, the blood of the Lamb, and deliverance? How can they? But you know, even today, there are folks who celebrate without knowing why they are shouting hallelujah. They shout because somebody told them to shout. They wave hands because everybody else is waving. They are the folks who run because somebody told them to go have a lap. On the other side of this coin, there are those who have no memory and don't celebrate at all. The kind of folks who come to church and think that God ought to be happy because they showed up. They have no memory of where the Lord has brought them from. But, this is a big but When you remember that it has not always been like this, and who you are. When you remember that every door that God has opened, every prayer that God has answered, every path that God has made for you, a path even in the desert, there is no need for anybody to make you stand up. There is no need for anybody to tell you to pray or to wave your hands. There is no need for somebody to tell you to go take a lap. Because when I think of the goodness of the Lord and all that He has done, I bless Him all by myself. Amen. And I will bless the Lord at all times. I don't need to shout empty hallelujahs. I shout because I know what He's done for me, what He's doing for me, and what He will do for me. Thank God for memory. Without memory, you don't know the price of what you have. And when you don't know the price, you are likely to neglect the gift. You know those gifts I'm talking about, that you think is so cheap because you haven't got a clue of what it costs and you don't like it. You know, there are some possessions in your life that you really don't know how much they cost. Here are these Jews, Pharisees, living in their elite status and running the worship of Israel. The temple has been rebuilt and restored, and things are going good. The services are packed each time, and they think it's always been like that. And you know, sometimes we have to walk down memory lane and remind ourselves that it had not always been like this, and I have not always been what I am today. Memory lane. Remember so that you will appreciate from where you've come and that a price has been paid. And if we don't appreciate the price, we are likely to neglect the gift. What gift are we talking about? We are talking about the most amazing. We are talking about the greatest gift anyone can have. It's the gift of eternal life. Which, by the way, is not simply to take our punishment. It is also to reconcile us, to re-establish and reconnect us to God, that relationship. The Lamb that once was slain, to reconcile man to God, as declared in that hymn, All Heavens Declare. A price was paid. The sacrificial and voluntary death of Christ at Calvary. The life of God Himself. That's the gift. That's the price. In India, there is a memorial called the Kohima Epitaph. It's in Northeast India. And in that tongue, Kohima, a famous battle was fought there in 1944 between the Japanese on one hand and the British and Indian troops on the other. In the cemetery of that tongue, there is a memorial. And in it and on it are these words, and you know it. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for their tomorrow, we gave our today. That's where it's come from. The Kohima Epitaph. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for their tomorrow we gave our today. It's a wonderful story that captures this almost immortal message of how others contributed to our present and our future. And some people call it sacrifice. But you know, one of the meanings of sacrifice is that it involves a choice. And many of those who died didn't have a choice. They were conscripted. You were dragged into battle whether you liked it or not. But I want to say this to you, that the most amazing example of sacrifice, or what we call substitutionary sacrifice, in which one dies in the place of another, is Jesus, the Son of God, God Himself. He chose to come. He chose to live here. He chose to die one of the most horrible of deaths. And He chose to endure the fury of hell. A death and a fury that belonged to us. But He chose to do it for us to be spared and to be reconciled to the Father. He voluntarily and sacrificially gave His life. Do you know He did that long before He came to this earth? That choice was not made on Palm Sunday. That choice was not made in Gethsemane. That choice was made before the very foundation of the earth, this world. He could not have turned back. My God, why have you forsaken me? He could not have turned back, because that choice He made a long, long time ago, sacrificially and voluntarily. In the hymn, the writer William Walsham says, "It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be true, that God's own Son should come from heaven and die to save a child like me." And yes, we say, at the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. But as Christians, we also say, we remember and we will remember Him, the Christ who died for me and the whole world. So let me close by sharing the meaning of a couple of Greek words with you to bring this all together. You know, the Greek word, or our word, amnesia, originated from a Greek word that means to forget, right? We all know that bit, amnesia, to forget, or amnesia, depending how you pronounce it. And the opposite word for amnesia is the Greek word that sounds similar, anamnesis, which is to remember. Anamnesis is to remember. Now, anamnesis is also used in medicine. And when it's used in medicine, it's used to take our whole case history. And when they take your whole case history, they go back as far back as they can to check if your grandparents, your forefathers had this particular disease and see if it's hereditary, right? That's what you call whole history. To see if it's a generational thing and how it will affect me and my future. In the New Testament, the word anamnesis is used also. But the reason for pointing it out to you is this. It doesn't simply mean to recall something, simply to highlight it. Yep, this happened. This was something that is there. That is not the intention here. So let me give you an example to bring out what this meaning is. We've just celebrated communion. And by the way, Bible says you can do it as often as you want to do it. So it's not a every month thing or a every week thing. You can do it a few times a day if you want. That's the freedom that he's given us, right? But here is the thing. Anamnesis in the Lord's Supper. You do this to remember me. You know what it means? It means that Christ died for me, but that's not the end of it. He has died for me. He has given me eternal life, and he will give me eternal life. When we celebrate communion, it's not just about something that happened in the past, but that past becomes alive in the present. Yes? And I think that's what you are talking about. Alive! The past become alive. So God saved me. That is past tense, right? God redeemed me. That is past tense. But that redemption becomes alive today in Christ. And so it is more right for me to say, Christ redeemed me and Christ redeems me. And Christ will continue to redeem me. That's anamnesis. So this communion, and God bless it, when we do it week by week, or however often you choose to do it, it becomes alive who Christ is, what Christ has done, what Christ is doing, and what Christ will do. I was healed. I am being healed. And I will be healed. I am was delivered. I am being delivered. And I will be delivered. So thank God for memory and anamnesis. Remember. Remember.